Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the opportunity you've given us to be able to gather in your house and be able to study your word. Help us now as we get into it to understand exactly what you want us to and apply it in the right way. Thank you oh so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. As we get back into our Exploring the Word series in the book of Habakkuk, there's very little known about Habakkuk. This is a short book. It is prophetic. It's only about 40-41% of it would be considered prophecy. It starts out with a little bit of a wondering and questioning of why things are going on the way they are that Habakkuk is asking the Lord. Habakkuk is looking around and seeing the hardships that the area of Judah, the southern kingdom, is dealing with and questioning God about that. And the Lord lets him know that there's judgments that are coming. The Lord uses the world around us that he has spoken to existence to fulfill his desire, fulfill his will. He ultimately is in control. He can even use and manipulate the evil people of the world as an instrument of judgment against the righteous, or supposed to be righteous people, as a form of punishment or a form of chastisement against them or discipline on them. As we've seen all through the scriptures, all the way back here in Exodus and so forth with Pharaoh and others, all through history, we see how the Lord has used an ungodly person, persuaded or influenced an ungodly person to move in a particular direction or do something or give them certain power and ability and might, and then direct that to use as an instrument to correct his children. We know the Lord has ultimate power over everything. I mean, we know the worldwide flood. He used the flood and killed every man, woman, child upon the planet except eight. Preserved those eight. And then since then, he has surgically used other people or other things, even the world, the realm of the world, the natural forces, to use as instruments, surgically do various things throughout the whole world. And we know here this account is around 600 or so BC. It's around the time of Josiah, King Josiah, and a little after King Josiah's reign in the southern kingdom. At this time of history, the northern kingdoms had already been conquered by the Assyrians, the Ninevites. And in this setting here, we see a prophecy of the upcoming raid on Judah and Benjamin, the southern territory, by the known as the Chaldeans at that time, which later known as the Babylonians. So let's get right into it here in Habakkuk chapter 1. Reads, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. Note, this is a vision. This is something that Habakkuk saw. Now he starts asking questions once he's seen this. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? See, Habakkuk is seeing the things that are going on in the southern kingdoms at that time, in Judah. He's seeing the violence, he's seeing the paganism, he's seeing the evil that's even coming in unto them. And he's wondering, Lord, why are you not doing anything about this? We could look around today in this country, as this country was based on Christian and Judeo beliefs and principles, but yet what we see going on in this country today are far from that. And it's getting worse and worse. And we kind of wonder, well, Lord, why haven't you done something about it? Why do you let these evil rulers come up and take office and try to rule and overpower the Christians? Why is he patiently waiting before he swiftly judged them? That's not for us to determine. Just like Habakkuk is having that difficulty and questioning it as well. He says, why haven't you done something about it, Lord? As it continues, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. We see the troublemakers. We see the Antifa bunch. We see the Black Lives Matter terrorists. We see the other white supremacist terrorists. We see all these organizations that rise up. Some up 200 of them. And they're on the increase here and around the world. Therefore, the law is slacked. And truly, we look at justice and the law in this country, and we could surely say that. They are definitely slacked. They're not doing their job. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doeth never go forth. For the wicked doeth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. It's amazing how current these words are to what's going on in this country today. Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. That's a warning going out to all people. The Lord's going to be doing a work. He's done told us. He's prophesied what's going to happen. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. Now, the Chaldeans, also known as the Babylonians. Now, he's talking about the judgment that's going to be coming upon the children of Israel in the southern kingdom of Judah and Benjamin because of their violence, because of their neglect to serve the Lord. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that better and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. And they truly do. The Babylonians come through and they pretty much conquer all of the civilized kingdoms. Because they are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves, doing what they want to do. But note, the Lord raises them up. The Lord gives the ungodly bunch of Chaldeans the might and the power to be able to do the ungodly things they're doing. Like, how does that make any sense? Because the Lord is able to use them as a scalpel to surgically do His will. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. And we know they do take them captive. They take them captive. They take Judah and Benjamin, the whole region captive, go into Babylon, and are in captivity for 70 years. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting? O Lord my God, mine Holy One, we shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Notice, he's talking about a couple things here. The children of Israel will not be completely wiped out, but the Lord has ordained or set aside a purpose, a task for the Chaldeans to actually do, and it is for correction, as he says. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Here in verse 13, Habakkuk's coming back with another question, because Habakkuk doesn't have full understanding, reality, what's going on, but he's questioning the Lord. Like, how can you utilize an ungodly bunch when you are so holy and use these ungodly bunch to go after people that are better than they are, or more righteous, as he says? And make us men as the fishers of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? Like, you're raising up this evil bunch. These evil bunch are going to do exactly what they want to do and just come in and just slaughter and take captive and steal everything they want. Chapter 2, the Lord answers Habakkuk. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I say answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. He's telling him, write what he's seeing and let the people know. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end of it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Here he's letting us know that there are people that are within the children of Israel in the southern kingdom that are going to yield to the prophecies of the impending judgments that's coming upon them and be saved through all this. Yes, they'll be taken captive and go into Babylon, but they'll be preserved. And they'll grow closer to the Lord, and the others will ignore it, turn away, and be judged for it. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his, how long, and to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. This is a little bit of a woe that's going to the Chaldeans, to the Babylonians. Let them know that, you know, you all are doing what you want to do and conquering all this, but there's going to be a limit to it. It's going to be a day of accountability. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations. Like, there's going to be payback time. There's going to be a time when you're going to get wiped out and conquered. And this does happen. Because the Babylonians come in, they take captive the whole area of the southern kingdom there, Judah and Benjamin, take them into captivity 70 years. But about 10 years or so after that, they wind up being totally wiped out. We know that during the time, at the end of the 70 years of captivity, that the Medes and the Persians come in and conquer all the region, even more than the Babylonians had conquered, and take over Babylon and the Chaldeans at that time. And then they get diminished. And the children of Israel are able to go back to Jerusalem and reestablish the kingdom. It is because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee because of men's blood and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Now see, this prophecy is going to those Chaldeans. They're going to get payback for what they're doing. Woe to him that coveteth, and evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by the cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Another woe going to those Chaldeans. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the fire, in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That verse 14 has had partial fulfillment through the ages and will ultimately be fulfilled in the millennial period and the eternal state, when the entire world will have a knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Now this 15 is a very interesting one here. This is a practice that's going on today, widespread. When you get involved in an ungodly behavior and then you in turn share that ungodly behavior or encourage that ungodly behavior to be done by somebody else, even more blame comes upon you for doing such a thing. Because then you carry the accountability of having a negative influence on somebody else's behavior. Thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. Now this is talking about the ungodliness being revealed. When he talks about let thy foreskin be uncovered, this is talking about you will be exposed as being an ungodly person, because he's making reference to circumcision being of the righteous and uncircumcision being of the ungodly or the unrighteous, those that are a part of the covenant and those that are not part of the covenant. So he's saying that all of the sins, all the ungodly behavior, all the ungodly people, it will be revealed, it will be exposed what they truly are. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee in the spoil of beasts, which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and the teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Like, you're not going to be able to get any help from your ungodly pagan ways and your false gods and your ungodly antichrist beliefs. Not going to help you in the end when it comes to judgment. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Let all the earth keep silence before the Lord. Humbly come to him. All right, now chapter 3 is kind of a prayer that Habakkuk gets into here. It reads, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet upon Shigionoth. O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. And his brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of his hand, and there was the hiding of his power. Before him went the pestilence, and the burning coals went forth at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan in affliction, and the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea, that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Thy bow was made quite naked, according to the oath of the tribes, even thy word, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of thine arrows they went, and at the shining of thy glittering spear. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst thresh the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of the people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Verse 13 there, it gives us a glimpse of what he's talking about here. He's talking about the various judgments that come upon the entire world, even the controls of the natural forces themselves and these other troops and nations and so forth, went forth for the salvation of thy people. That's the important part to acknowledge and know. These things that come through that we don't understand, that happen, and we wonder, well, why did the Lord let this happen? Why did the Lord let that happen? Why did he use his evil people to do these things? Ultimately, this is what it was all about. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people, even for salvation with thine anointed. Thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked, by discovering the foundations unto the neck, Selah. Thou didst strike through with his staves the head of his villages. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was as to devour the poor secretly. Thou didst walk through the sea with thine horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Note, Habakkuk right here near the end, he's coming to the realization of all this is going to happen, and that the Lord is doing these things for a purpose that he needs to accept and rejoice in, knowing that we serve God, the ultimate authority, the one that is ultimately in control of everything. Whether we understand his ways or not isn't the point. It's that if we yield to him and rejoice in him as being our Savior, the salvation, the one who really and truly cares for us, then we just need to rejoice. Because that's what Habakkuk's coming to the realization of. He says, I see all this is going on. I don't understand why it's going on, but I'm going to rejoice and praise you, Lord. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That's what we need to hang on to. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer of my stringed instruments. It's sending that as a psalm, that last chapter there, like a prayer, a psalm, going to be played. That's why you see the term Selah in there in a couple places. So that's what we need to comprehend from this. Habakkuk starting out with questioning, Lord, why are you letting all this go on? Why is this still being permitted? Why haven't something been done? And we can find out exactly why when you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Pick it up right here in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." So we look around, we see the things that are going on. We think, why is he waiting? Why hasn't he just come on back and started the millennial period? Because he's still waiting. He's still wanting more to come to realization of him as their Savior before he casts judgment upon this planet. And we know it's going to be a swift and severe judgment. So when we look around, we see the evil that's going on. We see the evil on the increase. We got to know that some of those folks out there still have a chance of salvation. They haven't all reached that point of reprobate. So we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to be the testimony. We need to be the light. We need to show the light and the love of Jesus Christ to this dark world. And maybe be able to influence some of those folks to come to know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, before it's everlasting too late and the final judgments come upon them. But let's not get the attitude that Habakkuk started out with, questioning the God, well, you know, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. Why haven't you done something about this? Why haven't you done something about that? Because you're upset it didn't go your way? We don't have the intelligence or the opportunity to be able to have that kind of power. We don't have the intelligence to deal with it or utilize it right if we had that kind of power. Because we cannot see everything. Like I've said so many times, we see through a tiny little speck. God sees it all. So let's not take our tiny little speck and try to interpret the entire picture, because we can't. We won't until the Lord gives us that revelation later. So trust in the Lord. That's the key thing. Even in the midst of the worst chaos that's going on around you and the persecution you might be going through, keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You oh so much for Your Word. These things written so long ago, it's amazing how well they apply today and will apply tomorrow as well. Help us to always realize the importance of studying all Your Word and applying it in the right way. Thank You so much. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank y'all.